We took him over to Fork and Finger for lunch. We didn't have room for dessert, though.
Oh, no.
They had some good-looking desserts there.
Poor kid, you just got hot
dogs. I know. Then we'd have had room for dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had some coconut pie there, too.
Oh.
They had several different kinds of cheesecake there. Peanut butter cheesecake.
Ham cherry cheesecake?
Oh. Yeah. My wife tells me we're on camera now. I guess we better stop. The camera's rolling. We're live. Yep. Through all that.
Sorry.
All right. Brother Henson, you want to come share with us what the Lord give you?
Well, it's a joy to be back. And I'm praying that it's enjoyable for everybody. Oh, my. If you would care to turn with me tonight, we're going to go right back to Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Apologize for that. Thought I had that thing muted, but evidently I didn't. I'm gonna just turn that thing plumb off, I hope. You're a hard-headed woman, you know that? Believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This whole chapter, all 12 verses, is about Jehovah's servant and his perfect son, his only begotten son, the son of his love. I've read that all of the verbs that are used in this chapter are what is called perfect, which means that all these verbs are past tense. The prophet prophesies of an event, of a life, as if it had already taken place, as it was in the mind of God, by the way. Yeah. The actions of this chapter, or that which has already happened. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I believe if we answer either one of those questions, it's the same answer for both of them. Huh? Yeah. The arm of the Lord speaks of His almighty power. The almighty power of God. Yeah? None so powerful. None so almighty. None as sovereign. We got kings on this earth and queens on this earth that describe themselves as sovereigns. They are not. There's only one sovereign, and that's God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In Isaiah 51 and verse 9, tells us about this arm of the Lord. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Yeah. In 52, chapter 52, in verse 10, it says, the Lord hath made bare His holy arm. Not only is this almighty power, it's holy power. We need to remember that. He hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The same is true in Isaiah, as it was in John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The drawing power of the Father is the same power that is exercised in this mighty arm of Isaiah 53 in verse 1. John 6 and 63. It tells us that none are made alive except by the grace of God and the power of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. To me, and I don't know how you understand this or how you believe it, but I believe that every child of God is quickened by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God must operate before a child of God can come forth. And if you go with Ezekiel over to chapter 37, oh man, how much fun is it to read that? Does that thrill your soul when you read that? Well, it ought to. I mean, even you, brother, this ought to thrill your soul, Ezekiel 37. God says, I'm going to take you over to this valley that's full of dry bones. Did you notice that He don't say that I'm going to take you over this valley and down in the bottom of it they scattered out a few dry bones? He said the valley was full of dry bones. And He said, prophesy to these bones. But first of all, He asked Ezekiel the question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel come up with the right answer, I believe. He said, Lord, you know, Lord, who it is that can live and who can't live. And it's just a wonderful story. And again He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones can hear the word of the Lord? Wow. Thus saith the Lord God under these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. See, he says, behold. He wanted the attention of them dry bones. And he got it. Yeah. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. You will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yeah. Dry bones. Thoroughly dried bones. Bleached out bones. How long have you been in that valley? I don't know. I mean, God could have put them there the day before. Or the morning before they got there. I don't know how long they've been there. They've been there very long. It's pretty bleached out. But it just goes to show you that the power of God, the arm of Almighty God, can do whatever God says to do. If he wants dry bones to live, they're going to live, brother. Without you casting it, without Ezekiel casting any hexes or anything on them, he just prophesied like God said to, and them bones come to life. Bone upon bone. The mighty army they became. And that makes me think about Jeremiah 18 that our brother talked about Saturday morning. Yeah. Jeremiah, I'm going to take you over to the potter's house and show you a work on the potter's wheel. Yeah. Oh, mercy. What power God Almighty has. We have no idea how great that power is that God has. I know he can do exceeding abundant above all you could ask or think. He's got plenty of power, and he don't get tired. It don't take nothing to get me tired. I can get tired pretty quick. As dear brother's talking about putting an apple picking pouch on me, I would never get it full, brother. Be give out. Be a waste of your time. Yeah. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed as good to the potter to make it. And he said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Yeah. God says, I can do with you, Israel, just like I want to. And you can't do anything about it. Huh? If I want to send you off to Nebuchadnezzar, I can do it. Huh? If I want to send you off to the Babylonians, to the Egyptians, he did it. In a very subtle way, he sent the Israelites into Egypt. What a story that is. But it was God doing it. It wasn't Joseph. It wasn't Pharaoh. It was God. And I believe Joseph knew how they got down there. He said, I told his brother, said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Well, Romans chapter 9 tells us in the New Testament that God can do just as well, he's just as powerful in the New Testament as he is in the Old Testament. Yeah. Chapter 9. Verse 20 and 21. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. Yeah. God can do whatever pleases him. He saves whom he wants to. And those reprobates are reprobates because he reprobated them. Yeah. They didn't reprobate themselves. No more than you saved yourself. Yeah. And then he says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. This speaks of the same subject that we talked about the other day, the incarnation of the Son of God. Yeah. Growing up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Does this not speak of his incarnation, of his being born of the Virgin Mary? A root out of dry ground? Huh? Some say that this is a twig that comes up out of a stump that appears to be dead. I don't know. I'm not a language expert, so I couldn't tell you. But either way, the twig didn't have nothing to do with it. It was twig coming up. Yeah. If it's coming up out of dry ground, yeah. What a picture of the Son of God conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. This, my beloved brethren, sisters, is why the Jews hated him. Yeah. They were looking for a mighty man of valor. He was not dressed in some regal apparel. He wasn't dressed like a kingly warrior. He wasn't a giant of a man like Saul was, a man that the Jews loved. We want him for a king. He was a big, handsome boy. They got what they asked for, a big, handsome boy. Yeah. But Jesus didn't look like that. And they despised him. He wasn't riding on a great white horse. If I remember correctly, he come into town riding an ass in the fold of the coat of an ass. Yeah. And people were just worshiping him. And those high-powered Jews, they didn't like that a bit. And Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they did not like that one bit. Yeah. But there were some that did. Because the arm of the Lord had been revealed to him. Yeah? He hath no form, nor comeliness. Yeah. He didn't have any majestic countenance. Yeah. He didn't have a big, handsome face with a beautiful beard and blonde curly hair. What a silly idea. Painting a Jew with curly blonde hair. They got some silly ideas. No excellence in him that they could see. No beauty. As a matter of fact, it says, when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Yeah. And we talked about that some last night, of how terrible he looked when they got through beating on him and whipping him and crucifying him. Yeah. He looked terrible. Yeah. No beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. It says, he is despised, rejected of me, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid our face, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. and we esteemed him not. He is despised and rejected of men. Especially men of high esteem. There is no name more despised, even as late as the 20th century, as the name of Jesus. In the Hebrew language, they have changed his name to mean, let his name and his memory be blotted out. They just want to blot his name plumb out of the book. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His was a life of continued sorrow. Yeah. From the manger to Calvary. Shortly after the manger scene, old Herod wanted him. He told those fellows that had come, those magi who had come to look for him and worship him. He said, y'all go find him and tell me where he is where I can go worship him too. What he wanted to do was cut his heart out. He wanted to cut his throat. He wanted him dead. Yeah. He had heard that he was king of the Jews. He was born to be king of the Jews. He didn't like that. Yeah. He wanted his name and memory to be blotted out. And he met with much sorrow from the hardness of men's heart and unbelief. So much contradiction of sinners against himself. And even much more from the forwardness of his own disciples. Much from the temptation of Satan. More from the wrath and justice of God Almighty as the surety of his people taking their place through that mock trial. That should have been me and you. Yeah. Should have been. But it wasn't. He was there as our surety. Taking our place. Yeah. He was exceeding sorrowful in the garden. Where he prayed. And it was so serious a prayer that his sweat wasn't drops of blood. It was as it were drops of blood. Yeah. As it were drops of blood. Exceeding sorrowful. We hid our faces from him, Prophet Isaiah said. Who were the we? Those Jews that were watching him. They hid his face from him. They hid their face from him. They didn't want to look at him. He looked so bad. He was despised, we esteemed him not. And what that means is, they esteemed him as nothing.
Yeah.
He was nothing to them.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy. This, I believe, and I've read it, and so I'm not the only one that believes it, but I believe this chapter is a confession and repentance of the nation of Israel in the future days when all Israel will be saved. What a confession.
Yeah.
Isaiah knew how wrong they were. He was not among those who saw him except by faith. He saw him by faith. He knew who he was. So what we've looked at in those first three verses is the beginning. in reality, the voice of repentance and faith in Israel. Yeah. What about us? I was reading one guy, and he said that somebody had told him he'd been talking to somebody about this, and they said, well, it would have been different if I'd have been there. Yeah. What? What gives him the right to say some blasphemous thing like that? Huh? He wouldn't have been any different. He'd been right up there with the Pharisees, because that's what he was in reality. Even now, we still have Pharisees. Yeah. What about us? Have we been washed in the blood? Can we sing Jesus paid it all? Hold him out. Do we truly estimate our Lord Jesus Christ as his perfect worth? How much is he worth to us? Is he to us, to you and I, the chiefest of 10,000? Is he altogether lovely? Yeah. Are we to prepared to forsake everything and trust in him and follow him wherever? Say, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Yeah. We sang that some. But do we really believe that? Are we ready to forsake everything? To forsake our house and our land, our automobiles and all the conveniences that we have, and step in and follow him? Okay? Anywhere that he leads. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans. Chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yeah. Until we get to that reasonable service, you know, we can run right along with that. But when he says it's your reasonable service, how do you feel about that? Huh? Are we ready? Are we prepared to forsake all and follow him and present our bodies a living sacrifice? A man put his hand to the plow and wants to quit and go back to doing something else. He ain't worth nothing. You've got to have faith in Christ Jesus and follow him. Yeah. Do you know somebody better to follow? Huh? Is there anybody better to follow? Anybody that knows all the way? Huh? From the pit where we've been digged out of to glory? Nobody else knows the way. He's the only one that knows the way. So let's follow him. We want revival. We're going to have to follow him to get it. He's got it. You know, he can give it to whom he will. I pray tonight that he will. That he'll move upon us to be able to follow in his steps. We can't follow in his steps, but we can follow his steps, yeah, which is what the Bible declares. Yeah. Pray for us. We'll be praying for you that God Almighty would help us as the last two nights come. Our Thursday night and Friday night service. that God might be pleased to bless and protect us from evil and revive our old cold heart. Oh, mercy. Father, help us tonight. I beg you. Lord, you know what we need. You know what we are. You know we just clay. And you're the potter. The only potter we know that can take the pot and make a vessel to honor or to dishonor as it pleases you. I pray you'd mold us and make us after your will. Forgive our every sin. Oh, Father, hear our cry tonight as we come before your throne to worship you and to praise you for who you are, your mighty arm, your great mercy, your amazing grace are so wonderful. We praise you for it in Christ's name. Beg you to bless this old church, every member. Father, we know not every member, but I pray you'd bless as only you can. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.